So we are in week three of our series about Jesus, where we said he came. And today we're going to say he came because of travelers. Now, I wonder if you've ever noticed how many of the Christmas songs that we have something to do with traveling. I'll be home for Christmas. Driving home for Christmas. Take me home for Christmas. Even Justin Bieber has a song about getting home for Christmas. We don't go into that right now. It seems somehow that the one prompts the other. And maybe it started way back when with three travelers that were searching, seeking for a newborn baby. And Matthew tells us a little bit about this when he writes in Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 6 and then 9 to 11 with you, but I'm going to do that little by little. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" Can I just stop there for a second? Have you ever noticed when you were reading Matthew's story about Jesus' birth, that he never talks about the shepherds or the sheep or the fields or the angels or the manger or no place in the inn? But when it comes to the wise men, he's all over it. And remember I told you last week, when Matthew does something like that, it's kind of a moment in which you need to stop and say, why? Somehow I think what Matthew is saying to us is, don't miss the star and what the star is doing, and don't miss the seekers. Because in a sense, I think, my friends, that their story and our story is the same story. We're all travelers, seeking to find Jesus. But to get there, we need directions. And what Matthew is saying is, the only place that you'll find the right directions is if you follow God's directions. That will lead you to Jesus. Now, let me take up the story again with you. So, they get there, and then verse 2. They ask the question, "So where is the newborn king of the Jews? Now look closely. We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." So here's my question, and I know you're going to think, what's wrong with this guy? Of course, why is he asking this? What did God do to get their attention? Right. You're all saying, come on, Aubrey. We all know it's the star. They saw the star, and that's how God got their attention. Perfect. So here's my question. What is a star? Isn't a star just a regular, normal, everyday thing that is there that we always see? This year, on the 21st of December, we're going to see a so-called Christmas star. For the first time in 800 years, it's going to be so close and it'll be so good together when Jupiter and Saturn align. It's called the Great Conjunction. That's called the so-called Christmas star. We're going to see one of these, but it's a normal thing that God made. So here's what I want you to notice. Do you realize that God often uses regular, normal, everyday things to get our attention as we are traveling, seeking to find this child? Sometimes it's just a beautiful sunset. If you're on social media this week, Thursday evening, there was this beautiful, beautiful sunset. And if you went to Facebook or Instagram or all these places, it was flooded with pictures of the sunset. One guy even said to his wife, "Jump in the car, come with me." And he took her and he stopped and he said, "Look at the beautiful sunset." On Friday morning, on the weather network, they had pictures and they were saying, "What a beautiful sunset." And then the woman said, "Oh, it's Mother Nature." And I'm thinking, it's true. It's just a normal, regular thing. But if I stop for a moment and take notice, maybe I realize it's God who made the sun. It's God who made the moon. It's God who makes that sun go down and that sun come up. It's God who says, enjoy the sunset. Go sleep and know that I give good things to my children in their sleep. But when you see a moment like this, can you just remember that maybe I'm just saying to you, do you remember me? Or maybe you look into the face of a newborn baby. You look at those little hands and you see those 10 beautiful little fingers. And you hear those little sounds and you realize God says, before you were born, I knew you by your name. As you were formed in that innermost being, I was fearfully and wonderfully weaving you together. See, my friends, that's often how God speaks to get our attention. Ordinary, regular, everyday things. But the problem is we get so busy and we're so on the go that we don't see these things anymore. We don't stop for a moment and we don't even recognize God's handiwork in many of this. We'll sit in church and we'll hear the scripture and it just goes one in one ear and out the other ear. And in a moment, I didn't hear that beautiful moment that God actually had planned for me. We're sitting there praying, and I'm thinking, what am I going to cook this afternoon? What am I going to do this afternoon? And I don't hear that there was a moment in which God was trying to get my attention because God is leading me home to be with Jesus, and I missed that moment. I'm singing, and then I look, oh, I don't like that person's dress. I don't like the way that person's foot is, and I missed this moment that God actually had there for me. Look at them. They saw the star. They paid attention. It was just a star. And yet they said, we saw his star. Where is that king so that we can worship him? So here's my question for you. How is God trying to get your attention? Traveler on the road to Jesus. Are you paying attention to that? But now let me show you something else. It doesn't stop with the star. The star only gets them to Jerusalem. Did you read that? They got to Jerusalem, and that's where it stopped, and that's where they got to Herod, and that's where they get to these other people. Now read the story with me. Verse 3. So King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. So he called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and he asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said. It was just like that. And now look at them just quoting scripture off by heart. For this is what the prophet, and it's Micah, wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Did you get it, my friends? The star got them to Jerusalem. But for them to find Jesus, the one that they were looking for, God used his word. And they needed to hear the word of God to get to where God wanted them to be. My question. We can pay attention to all of these things. But if we do not immerse ourselves in the word of God, we're not following the right directions. How are you doing with the directions? How are you doing with studying your word? You don't have to be in a Bible study. you don't have to have some or other DVD series that you're doing. All you need to do is take the word and just read, and you'll see what God is trying to say. Why don't you just take the book of John and read it again? And maybe as you read it with attention, you get to chapter 3, verse 16, you say, oh my goodness, I've read it so often, but let me read it again and just think. For God so loved this world that God then sent his Son, so that all who would believe, who would pay attention, would have life, everlasting life. Think about that. There's the direction that points me in the right way of where to go. I want to share a story with you. I was asked to help with a funeral this week. I have no connection with the people. They have no connection with me. But I was asked if I would help this family, and I did. It was a young woman in her 50s that died. I found out that this woman was one of those of us who is not so fortunate to have a warm home and a warm place to sleep every day. She was part of a homeless community. Yet she served wherever she could, took care of others. It seems that there was a little bit of separation between her and the family. But then one of her children stood at her service, and he said these words, and I had to sit there and hold my tears back. He said, when we went through my mother's stuff and collected it, we found some books. And no, it wasn't novels by this person or that person. It was all books about the Bible and about heaven and about finding God and going to heaven. And I sat there and I choked up, because here was a traveler. Didn't have an easy life. And yet, this traveler took time to seek, to find. So how are you doing with that? Verse 9. After the interview, the wise men went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And in a moment, that house becomes a place of worship. And the seekers find what they were looking for. But they found what they were looking for, because you know what they did? They paid attention and listened to God's word and followed God's word. And that brought them to where they needed to be with Jesus. But then there's this moment. Who isn't there? Who's missing in this moment? Do you realize that those chief priests, the theologians of the day, the teachers of the law, the professors teaching the word, not one of them is present in that moment? Not one of them said, let's go with these three wise men and let's become wise in our own, in ourselves as well, and go and see. Because what did they have to lose? But here's the problem. You see, these religious leaders, they knew how to tell Herod about the Messiah. And they knew everything about the Messiah, but that's where it stopped. They could quote the scriptures off by heart, but that's where it stopped. They never stopped and allowed the scriptures the Word of God to touch their lives, to change their lives, and to bring them to that moment where they stand before the Son of God. And because they didn't do that, they missed out on one of the most amazing moments in the history of this world, when God came into the world and changed this world forever. And they missed it. Let's not make the same mistake, my friends. God will do anything to get our attention, because God wants us, travelers, to get home. And the only way that we can get home is through His Son, Jesus Christ. But then, my friends, we have to be open and attentive to God's prompting. Let me tell you a story to explain what I'm trying to say. I don't know if you've ever heard the name Helen Keller. Helen Keller was born in June of 1880. She was 19 months old when she got sick, and that sickness robbed her of her eyesight and her hearing. She was blind and deaf at 19 months old. Helen Keller, just before I tell the rest of the story, became the first deaf-blind woman to ever receive a bachelor's degree. She was a brilliant woman. 1886, when she was about 6 years old, struggling, this child could not speak, this child could not see, this child could not hear because 19 months old. Her father spoke to a man called Bell. Yes, the Bell that you know. And Bell said to him, "There's this institute, go talk to them." And through this institute, they got a teacher for Helen Keller. You can go read this in her biography, autobiography. You can also go watch the movie called The Story of My Life. The teacher's name was Anne Sullivan, a young woman of in her 20s. And she came in 1887, when Helen was 7 years old, she came into her life. And she was trying to teach Helen about words. So she would take her finger and write in Helen's hand, M-O-T-H-E-R. And Helen says she could monkey all of those things, but it had no meaning to her because she didn't know what mother meant, because she couldn't hear the words, couldn't see. It was a frustrating world. She said one day they bought her a new doll, and again, Anne was trying to write in her name, in her hand, D-O-L-L, and she got so frustrated, she threw the doll on the floor and it broke. And she was so angry, but Anne didn't give up. So she took her by her hand and they went walking. And someone was drawing water. And Anne stopped and she took Helen's hand and she put her hand under the water that was flowing. She said, and as she stood there, this water was flowing over her hand. Let me read you the story. "I stood still and my whole attention fixed upon the motions of her fingers. Suddenly, I felt a misty consciousness as of something forgotten, a thrill of returning thought as somehow the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew then that W-A-T-E-R meant that wonderful, cool something that was flowing over my hand. And that living word awakened my soul, gave it light, gave it hope, and set it free." That's what God wants to do for us in Christmas. That's what God did in the advent of His Son. God broke into this dark, lost world. God broke through our blindness and our deafness and the darkness that we were living in. And God started pursuing us like this teacher until we understood when God was writing in our hand, J-E-S-U-S. And in that moment, we feel God's prompting. And I realized J-E-S-U-S means I love you. You are precious to me. You are honored. You are my child. And I care for you with everything in me. And every now and then, a seeking soul will look up and understand. J-E-S-U-S. I hope you're one of those this Christmas. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for not giving up. Even when we break our dolls, we get angry and we walk in the darkness. You send your light. You send the light of the world into this world to break through our darkness and to open our eyes that we could see Jesus. That we could reach out, Lord, and touch him. And know, Lord, that you love us. Help us as we travel in this Christmas to be attentive to you and to your word. And to listen carefully as you spell out loud for us. J-E-S-U-S. I love you. Amen.